Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, October 8th, 2017.
First reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 5. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a vine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? Now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it waste, and it shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed for righteousness. But behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading this morning is from Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it, and dug a wine press in it, and built a tower and leased it to tenants, and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and drew him out of the vineyard and killed him. When, therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone,' that this was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes? Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds, because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Stronger.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Not too long ago, a friend and I reminisced together, and he told me about how he and his family would travel to Michigan every year around this time to pick apples, something many people love to do. And this friend of mine, a fellow pastor, loved his apples. He told me that on one occasion, he couldn't resist eating as many of them as he could, even while his family continued to collect the fruit and fill up their bushels. Well, on that particular day, when they returned to the farmhouse with several full bushels, my friend watched while his father paid the owner of the orchard for those apples. Now, being a good Lutheran boy, guilt got the better of him. And out of respect for the landowner, he confessed and asked if he had to pay for all those apples that he had eaten while they were picking. Well, the owner of the orchard looked at him and smiled, and he began to laugh out loud, and he said to him, "Son, if you ate too many apples, you'll pay for them later." Well, it took a little while for my friend to understand exactly what the man meant. But later, he learned what happens when you stuff yourself with fruit you didn't pay for. The old adage, pay now or pay later. After all, there's always a price to be paid, right? Well, our story for this morning does not take place in an apple orchard, but the principle is the same. There was an owner of a vineyard, and the owner loved the land. He spared no expense. We are told he built a wine press and a watchtower. So this must have been quite the vineyard. You can imagine how much this landowner looked forward to harvest time, to welcoming that first crop of fruit, ripe and ready to pick. He couldn't wait to taste the fruits of the vine, to make wine from his grapes, and to see for himself the profits of all the work that he had done. But then, the landowner found it necessary to travel to another country. So he rented that vineyard to a group of tenants. Unfortunately, these tenants proved themselves to be quite untrustworthy. As a matter of fact, you could call them downright evil. When the harvest arrived, they refused to give the owner his share of the crop. When the landowner sent servants to collect his portion, we are told that the tenants beat one servant, that they killed another, and stoned yet another. And when the landowner sent even more servants than the first time, those tenants did the very same to them. You know, you've got to wonder. After all this took place, you think that landowner would have went to the judge and demanded justice. But this landowner was obviously a patient and gracious man. Perhaps more gracious than you and I can understand, and certainly more gracious than these scoundrels deserved. The landowner thought to himself, "Surely, they'll listen to my son. They will give him the respect he deserves and what rightfully belongs to him." So the landowner sent his son to the vineyard to ask for the rent. When the tenants saw the son coming, they weren't about to back off. In fact, they said to one another, "Let's take care of this so the land will be ours." They plotted that son's demise. And what happened then was no accident. It wasn't a crime of passion. It was premeditated murder. They attacked the owner's son and they killed him. And then they took his body and threw it out of the vineyard, the very vineyard that would have been his inheritance. The people whom Jesus first told this story to knew exactly what he was talking about. In fact, they had heard it before. In Old Testament days, God described his people as being a vineyard. He dug them out of slavery in Egypt. He led them to the Promised Land. And there he planted them in the richest of soil. God later came back to look for some good grapes. But his vineyard produced only bad fruit. So he sent his messengers, those gentlemen we know as the prophets, one after another, to warn the people to repent or to suffer the consequences. But they would not listen. They insisted that they were doing just fine by themselves. "We don't need to give God anything at all." So they ignored them. They despised them, they beat them, and they killed his messengers. They had no intention whatsoever of offering any of that fruit to the Lord. They were determined to keep all that they had for themselves. And there was a price for their disrespect. They would be destroyed by invading armies, and they would be made into slaves. And what their ancestors had once been, they now became. Pay now or pay later. There's always a price to be paid. As most of us already know, in today's story, Jesus is the son of the landowner. He was the one who visited the vineyard and was then killed by its tenants. And since they bore no fruit and murdered this owner's son, they were cut off from the vineyard. And now that vineyard has been given to others. My friends, did you know that Jesus had you in mind when he told this story? You're the new tenants. The vineyard in which you live today is a wonderful place. It has fertile soil. It produces good fruit for you to eat and good wine for you to drink. You should be quite content in God's vineyard. He has taken care of absolutely everything for you. Think about it. God has provided you with homes in which to live, and families and friends you love. He has given you opportunities for education, to enjoy those professions in which you earn your living, the clothes on your back and the shoes on your feet. The car that brought you to church today came from Him, as well as every other good thing you enjoy in this life. God has provided you with a rich and plentiful vineyard in which to live. So, you should be quite happy with all that God has given to you. And of course, there's more. God provides you with an even greater gift, His forgiveness. He has given you His beloved Son, the Son that paid the price for your sins, so that you may be pardoned of all your offenses against God and live a peaceful life without fear, living your life with joy, knowing that because of Him you shall enjoy life after death. So what's the rent? What do you pay to live in this wonderful place? Nothing at all. It is a gift from God to you. And so surely, you will be found to give Him thanks every moment of your lives, praising Him for all your good fortune, and you will return a fair portion of the harvest to Him. You will, won't you? My dear friends in Christ, what is your response to God's grace? Since God has promised to provide for you so generously, does not this inspire you to take a generous portion of all that He has given to you and return it to Him? I mean, certainly your hearts are so full of thanks that the offering basket overflows with gratitude. Each and every day should find us rejoicing in the grace of our God. We should never complain, but be full of peace and contentment. Is that the way it is for you? Or are you? No, are we more like the wicked tenants who think that the vineyard is all theirs and keep all of the fruit for themselves? And then when someone comes along to remind us who all this really belongs to, do we close our ears? Do we harden our hearts? Do we get angry when someone suggests that what we have really belongs to God? And then do we tighten our grip on what He has placed in our hands? My friends, what would happen if the owner's son came to us? Would we treat him any differently than the tenants in the story? When we were first baptized into Christ, God placed us in His orchard. And God continues to cultivate those precious seeds of faith that were planted in us there. Whenever we hear His holy word, the word that deserves our attention and our obedience and our respect. Therefore, as children of God, we should bear good fruit all the time. And we should have a healthy desire to offer that fruit to God. God should not have to come down to us and demand this of us. We know that faith alone saves. But my friends, faith is never alone. The condition of our heart, which we call faith, where we are sorry for our sins and receive forgiveness, is always accompanied by a life of thanksgiving and good works. This is the good fruit of repentance at work in our lives. Good works do not save us. But those good works are evidence of our love for God, who in Christ Jesus saved us from death and hell. The owner says, surely they will respect my son. My dear friends, how can we not? Just look at what God has done for you and me by sending his only son to the cross. How can we help but live as his people? How can we withhold anything from him? How can we not express our faith in our living and in our giving? The son comes to us today. Welcome him into the vineyard. Give him what he is due. You have nothing to fear. For in Christ Jesus our Lord, you have it all. Let us pray. Lord of the harvest, produce the fruits of faith within us. And let our lives be sweet-tasting and fragrant, filled with love for you. And gather us to you, that we may bless you all our lives long. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.